To see you.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah, my name is Keith and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Over the past 6 or 8 weeks, we've gone through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't know how to recover from alcoholism, to understand the disease, what we've got, and what we do in everyday life, how we implement the steps and what we do to keep sober and how we work with other people. In the early days of AA, when the guys got sober and we started the fellowship, we had to realize that we needed some form of rules, some form of what they called spiritual principles. Because people were having meetings in their homes and houses, and there was disarray that different sort of members were turning up, and they had to get down on paper some form of membership requirements and who runs the AA and the spiritual principles. So what I've done is I've put the traditions together, and I don't go, I work out the 12 and 12, but what we tend to do is we keep it to a short form. And the reason we do a short form tradition meeting is because people, we don't need to go into a long study of each tradition. We just need to understand what the tradition is and how do we apply it into the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, when AA first started, they were called the 12 points to assure our future. How is AA going to survive in the real world? Because we need to keep ourselves safe. And in the early days before AA, there was two societies that sobered up drunks that didn't have traditions, didn't have principles or rules. And they failed and they disbanded and they fell apart. And we learned through their mistakes. So we've put in a set of principles. Now, I'm going to read the long form because the short form traditions are what get us in trouble. So I'm going to read the long form and I'm going to short form what they mean and how we implement them into AA. And I'm going to start with tradition one. And with tradition one, it says, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. And I underline this point here because it says, AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but our individual welfare closely follows. And I had to try and understand what that meant, our common welfare. The common welfare is Alcoholics Anonymous, because all of the traditions, the 12 traditions, all come back to tradition one and the same as step work. Step one is the most important to understand the condition that we've got. So the fellowship of AA is more important than the individual, because without AA, we won't survive and we won't live. I'm going to read one little paragraph out of 12 and 12 on tradition one. And it's only the very first paragraph that I'm going to read. And it says, the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality of our sobriety has. Our lives and the lives of all who come to depend squarely upon it, we stay whole or AA dies. Without unity, the heart of AA would cease to beat. Our world arteries would no longer carry the life-giving grace of God. His gift to us will be aimlessly back. Sorry, will be spent aimlessly. Back again in their lives, our conscience will reproach and say, what a great thing AA might have been. And it talks about the unity of AA, the fellowship of AA. And I was at a meeting a long time ago, and I was standing outside the meeting as it was starting to go ahead. And a woman turned up with a pint of beer. And she decided that she was going to come and sit in the meeting and disrupt the meeting, drinking her beer. And I had to stop her from coming in because the greater good of the group is more important than the individual. Without AA, we will not survive. And I had to stop her and get her to put the beer down or tip the beer away before she could come into the meeting. And our responsibility as AA members is if we've got somebody disrupting the meeting, we remove them. We take them outside, we give them their number, we offer them the hand of hope and support and our phone numbers. But for the greater good of the meeting, we need to remove people that are disruptive within the meeting. It's really important with tradition one that the unity of AA is more important than the individual. And in the 12 and 12, it talks about a story of Eddie Rickenbacker. And Eddie Rickenbacker was on a plane and it fell into the Atlantic, it crashed. And the surviving members of the plane all jumped into the life raft. And what they found over the period of days is somebody had to ration the food. Somebody had to make, otherwise the group would have ate the food, done the drink, and then they would have died because they would have run out. So Eddie Rickenbacker decided that he was going to ration out the food and the drink to each of the members who were in the boat. And over the period of days, what happened was one of the, or a few of the members had died within the boat. And what Eddie Rickenbacker had to decide was we need to throw them overboard because they would get diseases and contaminate the rest of us. So what they've done was they threw them overboard for the greater good of the group. So the importance of tradition one is that personal recovery depends upon AA unity. We need to stick together. And that's really basically what Tradition One is, the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then when we got on to Tradition Two, I'm going to read Tradition Two, and it talks about, on the long form again, it's for our group purpose, there's one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. And the book is quite clear. It talks about the bleeding deacon and the elder statesman. And the bleeding deacon is the one who wants to run the show, the one who wants to control the meeting and do it this way and run it that way, and things will be fine. The elder statesman is the wise member that's been through all the steps and all the traditions and all the service positions. And he sits at the back of the hall and he gives his experience on how the meeting should be run or should be run. And it talks about the group conscience, and everybody should have a group conscience within their groups. And the problem with traditions nowadays is not everybody understands it. And we need to understand what the traditions are for us to run each group and what our positions are and how it works. And when we're going to take a group conscience, we need to do a list of an agenda of what we're going to discuss in the group conscience. And the group conscience is decided by the home group members. Not every member can sit down and make a decision and take a vote in the meetings. It's for the home group members to make that decision and take that vote. And have an agenda of what they're going to vote on, whether it's going to be an hour meeting, a 2 hour meeting, whether they're going to have a break in the middle, whether it's going to be a discussion meeting, we're going to have teas and coffees, the way the meeting's going to be run. And more importantly, the service positions, how people are voted in, because AA is a handbook of the service positions and the sobriety length of time needed for each position, okay? So we sit down and we take a vote on different subjects within the group conscience, and we need to adhere to these. So sometimes I've been sat in group consciences and it hasn't gone the way that I wanted it to go. I wanted to vote one way and it went a different way, and my job as a sober member of AA is to adhere and to stick to what was voted, whether it's right or wrong, whether I believe it or not, I need to stick to that. A lot of meetings are started with a resentment and a coffee pot. If it doesn't go my way, I'm going to leave this meeting. I'm going to start a new meeting. I'm going to run it this way. It's all going to be fine. And this is why a lot of meetings kick off and a lot of meetings will start, because people don't like the format or the way that the meeting is run. And the reason we have a group conscience is because the group will decide for the greater good of that particular meeting. And as a home group member, whether it's right or wrong or go our way, we need to stick to them. The most sober member is one that leaves the meeting and adheres to the principles that he didn't believe in or he didn't want to vote upon. And that is tradition two, as God may express himself in our group conscience, and we go with the vote. And that's how AA runs on tradition two. Tradition three is probably the most controversial tradition out of all of them. And what people do, I'm going to read the short form first of all, because the short form is where AA went wrong or where we got in trouble. And the short form says the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. And the book is clear about we have hard drinkers and moderate drinkers. We get addicts in AA. And all they're going to say is, I've got a desire to stop drinking, so I'm an AA member. And a lot of people come to AA not as an alcoholic, not qualified as an alcoholic. And in our meetings today, unfortunately, that's what happens. We get a lot of people turn up that are not the real alcoholic as described on page 2021. The people that cannot stop drinking for any and all reason. And in the long form, it explains it slightly different. And on the long form, it says our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Alcoholism, that means we suffer with the mind and body, the allergy and the mind or the malady or the obsession, whatever you want to call it. That's for the membership requirement of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not a heavy drinker or a moderate drinker, one that suffers with alcoholism, right? It then follows on, it says, hence we may refuse none who wish to recover. The only ones that have come to AA to recover are the ones that suffer the powerless condition of alcoholism, right? It says, nor all AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. So tradition three is quite clear. The membership for AA is those that suffer with alcoholism. And when we sat down and we went through step one weeks and weeks ago, alcoholism is mind and body. So when people come to AA, my job as a sober member of AA is to qualify the newcomer. And on page 44 of the big book, it gives us two questions of what to ask the newcomer. Are they ready to quit entirely? Because I came to AA because I couldn't stop drinking. I didn't come for using. I didn't come for overeating. I didn't come for Sex Anonymous. It came because of my drinking problem, my drinking condition. Yeah, those two questions. Can I stop entirely? Am I ready to quit entirely? And if once started, can I control what I take? And the answer to them questions for myself was no. I couldn't stop for more than a year. I couldn't even stop for a few weeks, to be fair. And once I started, I couldn't stop. So yes, I'm a member of AA. Yes, I suffer with alcoholism. And tradition free is quite clear. Now, when the traditions were put together, they had a meeting, and one night this guy turned up and he knocked on the door. And one of the older guys knocked, answered the door, and this black guy turned up, and he was a black cross-dressing gay guy. And he turned up and he asked if he could join the meeting. And when the guys brought him in, they were shocked at how this guy's appearance was. And they was deciding, can he be a member of AA? And they had to take it to the group. And what they'd done, they asked them two questions. Can he stop for a year or more? And if when started, can he control the amount he took? And the guy answered, no, he couldn't. And he was welcome to be a member of AA. But the early members were worried about him turning up in a dress, a transvestite, turning up in an AA meeting. What sort of message is that going to carry for Alcoholics Anonymous? And the book is clear. It talks about what would the master do? So they took it to the group conscience. And when they sat down with Bill Wilson and the early members, they sat down and asked, what would the master do about that? And they made a decision that this guy could become a member of AA, regardless of other addictions, whether you're an addict or overeater, doesn't matter. Providing you suffer with alcoholism, you could become a member of AA. And it brings us on to the topics of what people share about in meetings or what the main share should be. Now, the guidelines are quite clear. If I'm going to come to an AA meeting, whether I'm an addict, I'm going to call myself an alcoholic, because my respect for the meeting is to show respect for AA. So if I'm going to come to AA, I'm an alcoholic. If I'm going to go to Narcotics Anonymous, I'm going to be an addict. And I respect the spiritual principles of each fellowship. We have what they call a singleness of purpose. And a singleness of purpose is in AA, I'm an alcoholic, and AA, I'm an addict. I need to stick to these. I don't come to AA and say I'm an alcoholic and an addict. People don't need to hear that. They just want to know, I suffer with alcoholism. I'm going to be a member of AA. And what can I offer to the group? Excuse me. So in the early days of AA, they let the black guy in, the black cross-dresser, and the guy came in. He became a healthy member of AA. And he sat down in the meetings and he would participate and become an AA member. And he sponsored other people. And for me, the most important part of all the traditions, they always come back to the unity of the group. United we stand, divided we form. We spoke in the book about the fellowship of the spirit. And the fellowship of the spirit is every AA member. And the spirit of the fellowship is God or the power, which comes in tradition too. And basically, that's as far as we go on the first three traditions. Short and sweet. Thank you.